Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show that flips the script on what it means to build success from the stage and beyond. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara. And around here, we don't just talk about public speaking. We dig into how using your voice can become your most powerful asset. Today's guest isn't just speaking to inspire. He's building movements that shift mindsets, multiply income, and leave a legacy that's bigger than any brand. If you've ever hit rock bottom and wondered if your comeback could become your calling, this episode's for you. Joining me today is Billy Fowler, founder of Overflow Nation and the heartbeat behind a global mission that fuses faith, financial freedom, and future-ready skills. He's not out here chasing influence. He's building infrastructure. Whether it's his best-selling book, The Answer, Break Every Limit, Receive Every Blessing, This Time the Abundance Stays, or his bold new initiative, Overflow AI Academy, Billy's making sure underrepresented voices aren't just heard, they're equipped, certified, and launched into the marketplace with purpose and power. From private equity leadership trainings to global platforms, Billy brings a system built on generosity, growth, and unapologetic faith. And he's here to show us how to live in overflow, even when life has tried to drain you dry. This conversation drives into the fusion of purpose and pivot, how AI and faith are not just comparable, but essential allies, and what it really takes to build a movement that outlasts the hype. So let's get into it. I can't wait. Welcome to the Spotlight, Billy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good and excited you're here. It's so good to have you here. So much we have to talk about today.
It's super exciting.
I love to start with a journey. All the people that listen to this show know that it's just my personal jam. And I want to rewind for a second to find out who were you before the book, before Overflow Nation, before any of the platforms. What was the moment or maybe the breakdown that led you to build something rooted in purpose instead of pressure?
Yeah, so thank you for that. And thank you for having me, Kelly. So I was brought up in Michigan and in a very agricultural environment where I was involved with 4-H, and my mother's mother was a farmer and my father's mother was a farmer. One grew cattle and the other one grew vegetables. And so one of the things I noticed early in was that they were givers. And so they would I literally saw by the age of 8, people's lives get shifted and changed as a result of my family giving individuals that did not have as much in terms of vegetables and meat and things along those lines. As I got older, when I had the opportunity to decide what I wanted to do as an adult, I said, wouldn't it be neat? We had different people coming into our classrooms in undergraduate school. I received my undergraduate education in HR, actually, from Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. We had an individual come in from a publicly traded company. And if I say the name, you know what it is. And they basically start talking about the servanthood behind human resources. I said, wow, that's being brought up in a Christian family and understanding what that looks like in that template. I said, this kind of resonates with me. While everybody else was going towards sports and some of the other cool things, I continue that perpetuation of being a farmer nerd. And I actually, I said, you know what, that works for me. That works for me. So then having 17, 18, I actually graduated early, had pretty decent grades, got into college. And then once I took that, I had my first role in HR working for International Harvester, Navistar. This is the corporation that used to build tractors that our grandfathers and great-grandfathers used to drive. And I started off in labor relations. I was like the first chair, negotiated the contracts. But in that, though, I was able to really start to see blossoming of what the leadership of my grandparents. I was fortunate to see both my great grandparents and a lot of my friends didn't have a lot of that in Michigan. So I saw all that warmth and that love coming up. So I was able to share that from a leadership perspective early in. And because of that giving concept, I believe that the measure you give, the measure you receive, that started to blossom. I started seeing doors, people started mentoring me when I look back into some of my neighborhoods where I didn't really necessarily see some of that. And I think that was more, my heart was open. I was more welcoming for people to come in and teach and train. I learned to listen early from just early mentoring from my grandparents and just being out there plowing on the field and just having that moment where a lot of people don't have that, especially today. Fast forward to 2025, people don't have that outdoors experience where their grandparents are sitting there talking to them and just, we're just, hey, let's just stop. Let's just talk. What are you gaining from this experience? I'm like 10. I'm like, I'm tired. But the whole point of it is that I had that opportunity. So now when I'm mentoring young people or even people my age or even older, I'm able to share with them my perspective, my lens, because we're all part of our own evolution. So I'm very careful not to criticize anybody because we're all in different phases in our life. And as I started to get older, I started thinking about times when I was reflecting back, when I was in my parents' back seat in the pickup truck. I said, I would see these people in these fancy cars in Michigan driving. It was the town I grew up in, didn't have many people in it at all. And so I didn't grow up in Detroit or anything like that, or even Ann Arbor. And I said, what does it take to be that successful to get a car like that? So, and I noticed that when I got older, I started getting books from Tony Robbins and some of these other, and I'd feel motivated, but I still felt like they were keeping the secret sauce. They were gatekeeping. I said, that's not fair. I said, how do I get what you get? And I never really got it. I'm like, I don't have a horse to ride on. I just have the motivation because I listened to Tony and some of these others. So as I got older, I'm like, wouldn't it be neat if I actually shared with people what the answer really is? And it really involves you. It really involves identifying what you have. And I think that it deals with laws of attraction. And so I deal a lot with being back magnetic. And an example of this was as soon as last week. I went into a Target and I posted stuff on Instagram. And I told the cashier of the Target here in Canton, Georgia, and I said, I am going to look for a mother and two kids specifically. I don't want a strapping young man. I want a mother. And it turns out a grandmother and four children came up to the cash. I didn't know how much the bill was going to be. And the bill was $496. And the time I paid for it was, and the time is relevant, the time I paid for it was 8:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The next morning at 11:38, now I had forgotten all about a form I filled out. So I actually work as an executive in the Salesforce Tower downtown Atlanta. And in the whole building, Salesforce Tower, the whole building was filling out a form that the building was giving a free basket out. I don't know what was in the basket. I'm an HR, I read everything. Turns out that out of the 3,000 plus people in the building, only 200 and X people filled out the form. It turns out that they did this big write-up. They asked me to come downstairs and I won this big basket. The basket was worth over $500, less than 24 hours. And so what I teach people in the book is structured giving. So most people do random acts of kindness. And so part of what I teach, your abundance, the reason why I say but this time the abundance stays, because I'm teaching you structured giving. Part of the book, I actually wrote three other books, and another book I wrote was on structured giving. I deal with quantum physics. And I deal with three main people in the book. The first person I deal with is Warren Buffett. 99% of his wealth, he gives away. Why is that? And why? And so is it by happenstance or is that nomenclature? Oprah Winfrey has this idea to go to another country and build a school. She's blessed beyond all means. And then I also talk about Tony Robbins has been very influential in my life as a young man through when I was typing, using my typewriter and undergrad writing and writing my own papers. And I think that those three individuals and the path that I went down, the corridors I went down, taught me not only, and from my parents and grandparents, that giving was vitally important. And then fasting. I talk a lot about fasting in the back of the book. I actually have another book called The 100 Hour Reset. And the reason why I wrote the book on fasting is because about 2 years ago, I was severely overweight. And I was walking to the office and I said, I got to try something. I kept trying working out. I was trying to walk off my weight and none of that worked. I said, what if I start to intermittently fast? And that didn't work. So for some people it did. I said, what if I push my days longer? And that still didn't work. It wasn't until I started researching the science behind what happens every single hour. So I learned that your insulin levels decrease, You're not even fasting until after 12 hours. I learned that you're producing new red blood cells. I learned that your frontal cortex, your brain has shifted. All these things have shifted. And I kept challenging myself every week to go farther and farther. So the first week I do 24 hours. Next week I do 48 hours. Now I can do 4 days and 4 hours. So usually my last meal is Sunday at 6 p.m. And then my next meal is going to be on Friday at 10 a.m. And within that, I call it the euphoria moment, the ability, the clarity that you get. I challenge people to journal throughout this process, the amount of clarity. Are you going to be hungry? I tell people your hunger is not a commandment. Your brain and your stomach are talking. This is what I call the GI system. So we talk a lot about that throughout the process. And so when I built Overflow Nation, I built it on a tier system where you come in as a student. And then as a student, you're underneath the umbrella of an ambassador, which is the climax of it all. And so the next level would be a builder. And then each one of these, you go through 9 weeks. And the nine is significant of spiritual from Acts. But the whole point of this is, as you go through, there's an Acts involved with each one of these. So you're going to be fasting. You're going to be giving. And there's five pillars in the giving process. You're going to be giving to individuals that are homeless, to individuals that are families. But I'll pause for questions.
Going 1,000 miles an hour. Let's go back for a second and slow it down a little bit, because I don't want people to miss the point. You're jumping into the next topic, but truthfully, one thing that sticks out noticeably is such a good foundation in giving. And I think a lot of people often think that on the giving side, oh yeah, we'll just, if you belong to a church, you understand the concept of tithing. It's the rules of the game. But what I love is that your foundation was not just giving the non-tangible things. How wonderful, because of your upbringing, you're giving people food, you're giving them meat, you're giving them vegetables. And to be able to see the results of this had to have an absolute monumental effect on your perspective on giving. A lot of people will give money. Nothing wrong with that. The world needs money to move around its currency. But what a nice upbringing to get to see such a palatable, literally. You can touch it, you can feel it, you can taste it, you can hold on to it. You can fast from it if you want. But what a wonderful give. And I wanted to stop you and say, let's not let this moment pass by, that I can think of nothing that feels better than doing something for someone else that's unexpected. Like you bring up random acts of kindness, which I think are, they're as much as they're contributing to somebody else, they really change you. They make you feel good about you. So I loved it. That was where you started. That really resonates for me. But then it also has to have a lot of effect for you. Why the foundation, that faith is a big part of the foundation of what you're doing, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I tell people it's not a church or a charity, because I don't want people to box me in and say, oh, you're a pastor. Nothing like that at all. If anything, I try to create a movement. I want to transfer wealth and leadership and unlock abundance. So that's basically it.
Oh, I love where it starts. And then I think it's so powerful. I love that you're using the laws of attraction, which I sincerely believe in and have benefited from greatly. So I'm very thankful. I'm glad you're out there talking about it. But it doesn't sound like you have the experience of hitting walls. Have you hit any walls along the way?
Not really, because I've had one deeply rooted mentorship from people that have passed on and moved on to transition to glory. But I think because those here and the amount of wisdom, we define wisdom as knowledge related to understanding. They're kin folks, they're kin to one another. And so I think I understand that at my age, at my current age, I don't want to go down those corridors, because that will lead you to the wrong direction. I have been into penal systems to educate people. I've been into halfway houses. That isn't my forefront now, but I have been in those walls. And I know that when you go down that path, if you feel this urge to commit a crime, they have a place for you. So I've always listened to my upbringing, to my parents and grandparents. So I always call myself a nerd. Yeah.
I want to talk about the book that you did, because I think what a great title, The Answer: Break Every Limit, Receive Every Blessing, This time the abundance stays. Let's talk about that book. What made you sit down to write it? What was the moment that you realized that the message couldn't wait? And really, I'd love it if you unpack the truth behind the answer, because I think that's powerful for everybody to hear.
Yeah, so my parents, back when I was in college, my father had this epiphany to, he worked at Eaton as an engineer, and he had this epiphany to start his own non-destructive testing aerospace plant. And so he went to the plant manager and asked if he could purchase the equipment, and they said, jokingly, said, sure. So they actually gave it to him. So here, fast forward 30 plus years later, he has this huge facility. He has over 500 employees. And so I noticed patterns. I noticed things that from my grandparents, and his mom, which is my grandmother who passed away, we're all involved in this entrepreneurial, is privilege, this blessing. And whether people are Democrats or Republican or whatever phase you want to go down, I will strongly urge people to, I wanted to put something out there because I see a lot of hustling. I think that if you go back, and I don't want to spiritualize or make this religious, but if you just think about it, Adam and Eve, they didn't have to earn to receive. They were just basically said, you're here. We're going to bless you with, you have a job, you name the animals, and but for the most part you have abundance. And so I said, wouldn't it be cool to put that out there? And so I read the book The Secret years ago. I can't believe it's 20 years from Rhonda. And
Yeah, a long
so
time.
reading that book, yes, but the thing is though, I put that in somewhat of the, and I love it, so I'm not negatively saying anything about it. Again, I was motivated and I understood laws of attraction. But I wanted my book to be about, if I could summarize my book in one word, it'd be activation. So her book was more on manifestation, how to manifest something, and mine's more on activation. So there's acts involved, hence the word, the Forge Nine, everything. There's nine cup, there's several, there's nine key chapters, there's 14 chapters with nine key chapters. And so within that, there's things that you're going to have to do to activate abundance in your life where it'll stay. And you have to get yourself out of the way. And I would like to read just maybe one content out of the book, just table of contents, just a one sentence, if you don't mind. So,
I love it that you said this time the abundance stays. That's a powerful phrase in this book that sticks with you.
yeah. And then the very bottom of the book speaks back to you. And so I wanted people to know the prophetic nature in this. So the first chapter talks about the law of the mirror, and we get in, are you looking at yourself when nobody's looking? What do you see? Are you journaling? How are you taking notes of yourself? How do you, what application are you putting out? Then the second chapter, which is what I wanted to bring up, is the origin of the block. And it talks about you, the lie you didn't know, you inherited. And then you were whole before you were in the womb. And so I think that people need to understand what that looks like on that application. And I think the more, and then I get into quantum physics and spiritual physics within the book, and I teach you what that looks like from a spiritual component. And then we use different areas in people's lives that we all can relate to. There's a Marcus who's an executive. I deal with an individual that's incarcerated. I deal with people. So, and I wanted to paint the picture for different walks of life so that we can all see ourselves in the book. Okay, so there's, and the chapters are not long. It's about 114 pages, but nor was Ron's book. But I wanted people to understand the correlation between the two. And I have reached out to her several times, haven't heard back from her, but I'm gonna keep doing it.
You just keep doing it till they get it. I mean, the older I get and what you trade in youth, you get back in wisdom. And I look at it and I really want to share with people, listen, you're not missing anything. You think you're missing something, but the thing that you think is missing is the thing that reveals you. It gives you a new choice. It gives you a new perspective. It gives you appreciation. When you look at it, a lot of these really tough things that happen to people. I had the blessing of working with parolees for a while, and they weren't the easiest parolees. They were parolees that had been taken in as sex offenders. Not the easiest group. And then what they go through when they're in there and how they walk out feeling about themselves. And so I appreciate that you have that experience as well. It changes. You hope you're changing them, that you're creating another thought process, but it changes you too. It's a different
Absolutely.
take on life, isn't it?
It is very much, and I think that people need to hear different variations of how life looks, and so they're not looking at it from one perspective, one lens. I think that's why we're all so important. We all need to glean towards and lean in, like Sheryl Sandberg said. We all need to lean in on who we are so that we can tap into other people. And I think that Instagram is doing that in a way. if you understand how to wake up the algorithms, but I think most people just use it as entertainment. But if you use it in a way where you hashtag your interest, you'll spend about 15 minutes a day. And then in that, you'll start to see people starting to respond back. So it's not just one way. In other words, people post, like I have over 6,000 followers, but a lot of times people say, well, how'd you get that many followers? It wasn't just posting, posting, posting. It's okay, I'm gonna spend 15 minutes a day hashtagging my laws of attraction and then seeing where that goes. And then as you wake up the algorithms, then they start responding back to you. So it's twofold. I always like to educate people on that.
Love that. What do you hope someone that might be walking through loss or scarcity or starting from scratch again, what do you hope they take away that can really shave years off their struggle?
I think that it's people need to understand that they have more than what they anticipate. I think people underput themselves, and I think they're on the green. They just don't realize how close they are to success. And I picture myself when I was that young man in that pickup truck in my parents' vehicle, and I thought that I had to become most in order to be successful. You have what it takes. I think that you, Kelly, I think you are. You exemplify that by you allowing people to be on your stage. And I think that's pouring into that individual. And the same way we need to do others. I think that we have 300 million people here in the US, and then you look at India and Asia. There's billions of people on this earth. But if we spend more time giving, I think that the takeaway here is develop a structured giving. So right now, we're in survival. A lot of us are in survival mode. So how do you get out of survival mode? Is you identify areas in your life that you're underperforming in and that you'd like to see abundance. And so what I ask people to do is go out and there's an activation amount. Go to Dollar General, go to Dollar Tree, and physically buy a notebook. That's part of the activation. And then you're going to create a structured giving. You're going for yourself. And then what you're going to do is you say, I rent. I'm gonna deal with the average. I need furniture. I would like to have more clothes. I like better relationship. So you start identifying all, just handwrite it. Forget about the sophisticated Excel spreadsheet for a moment. You don't need to VLOOKUP anything. So let's just focus on just a regular piece of paper and writing down. And then what you're gonna do is you're gonna start giving in those areas. So if you don't have money to give towards someone buying a house, you go to Habitat for Humanity and you write down the hours. If you want furniture, you look around things that the measure you give is the measure you're going to receive. And you start to see things. I'm noticing this back even with venture capitalists dealing with people that are pouring into my life now. And I think that comes back, but I do want you to record it. And rather than just be at random acts, because you don't know, you're not, there's no structure involved with that. And so maybe there's nothing there. So the mentorship here is for this call is to identify areas where you're not. Where you're in survivor mode, a lot of people don't realize they're in survivor mode economically, and then you will see a combined a change when you see that when you can put down the next day that wow, like I gave you the example with the groceries and the next day at work.
Going with that, I think this is a good idea for people to be able to hear different types of options that are available to them to get them out of their stuckness or the places that they are not receiving. They think they're not receiving. Well, they're receiving what they haven't put out yet. So
Exactly.
not getting. So let's say, like you say, money. Let's say, give me a few examples of people who are struggling to pay their bills. They can't pay the gas bill. If you live in California, I'm in California and I'm here to tell you it's $5 a gallon. And I know people that are really stuck, especially their truck drivers. They can't work because they can't afford the gas. What do you tell those people? Give me a specific.
So I think that you have to do things for other people that don't economically involve money. You have to do things in that area. Maybe it's specifically working at the gas station. This is going to seem very unusual, unorthodox. But towards, we think about the hashtag movements online and what that algorithm, this is the same rule applies to your life. And I'll use the truck driving the same way that, and I used to be the HR director for the whole US for Sears, by the way. And so I dealt with all the distribution centers throughout the United States. And I would deal with a lot of truck drivers from California, even during the 2008, that whole era. And even if you look at, nothing's really changed. Obviously, inflation continues to rise. At one point, California's $8 a gallon. But for CDL drivers, it's even more for the semis. But I challenge people when you're buying a house, there's some people can't go out and buy somebody a house and buy somebody groceries. You go to Habitat for Humanity and you give your time. Okay, the same rule applies for, and then if you have, and a lot of people think, well, all I have is $5. If you take that $5 and you go to somebody at a gas pump, you say, "I don't have much, but I want to give you that." You'll be surprised the impact on your life and what happens. But I want you to write it down, write down the time, because I'm not talking to theorists right now. I'm talking as a practitioner. I go out and I look for ways to give every day. And that's part of this plan through Overflows. We challenge our leaders within our organizations to look for ways to give. And that's how this works. So if you're not a giver, you might want to pause, because I want to join the move. I want to be as part of the leaders and ambassadors, because there's different tiers. That level of giving is a lot more, but we're going to get you there. But if you're a truck driver, to answer your immediate question, you pull out your coins, your pennies, whatever, and you go give that to somebody, and the ecosystem will consume you.
Talking how fast the return is. You can't go out looking to get. You have to look at looking to give. When you give, you get. So what you put out there comes back to you. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And it still continues to delight me. I too remember The Secret and read the book, had the CDs, listened to them every day when I would go to work. And it was a magical thing, but it was the first step. I feel like it was the best marketing tool out there to introduce laws of attraction, but it wasn't the only thing you needed. It was the great introduction because it focused on you. It focused on what are you looking for. But truthfully, the next level is what you're talking about is when you start to give to others, it multiplies. It's so extreme. It multiplies so quickly. And it's simply a decision. It's as if you make the decision to do something for somebody. That decision alone, it's like it opens the floodgates. I'm always so surprised, and I shouldn't be. It happens all the time, but it's like the magic of life, isn't it?
It is. And I'll give everybody like a little sneak underneath the tent for today's Instagram post. I'm actually going to Home Depot when I hang up on this call. And I'm going to put two magnets on the table, and I'm going to put a magnet on the other, and then watch how fast they collide, they come together. And I think that you have to become that magnet. And so whatever you're trying to attract, whether it's a better relationship with your spouse, whether it's economics, whether it's just a better version of who you are, you have to be nicer to people. Can you be nice? And I think those things, that's built upon the Ritz-Carlton theme. Can you out-Disney somebody? Can you bring that umbrella out when it's raining? Can you do those things? If you see somebody and you know that they're struggling, can you come out of your hamster wheel and just say, "Listen, I don't have much time, but this is what I can do for you right now." And that level of giving is going to shift something in your life that you've never seen. But I do need you to write it down, because if you don't write it down, you're going to think it's random and you'll forget about it. And then I want you to write down the day, the measure, because you'll feel it. You'll feel a pendulum. You're like, "Wow, that's never really happened before." Write it down. Write down the time and watch how fast that took. And then go to the next line the next day. And that's what I like to challenge people from this call.
It's absolutely fabulous when you literally document it. You're documenting this experience for yourself. And for those naysayers out there who say, yeah, that sounds great. But I'll tell you, I had a conversation with a pastor once when we were in a car together and I was taking him, I think, to a funeral. And there was someone off the side of the road of the freeway, and he had a sign and he was looking for something. And I remember somebody in the back of my car saying, he's just going to spend it on liquor. The pastor gave a dollar at the time, handed a dollar to the guy off the freeway. And the guy in the back seat said, he's just going to spend it on liquor. And the pastor said, it doesn't matter what he spends it on. I give it to him. I give it to him with a show of faith that he'll do with this what he needs to do and he'll figure out what that is. But for me, the gift is in the giving. And it is
Absolutely.
amazing. It's immediate. How you feel about yourself as a human being when you do something kind for somebody else. It's immediate that the feedback, you're not even looking for one, but it reminds you of your humanity. And when you see it, you realize, oh, that's why I'm here. Like you'll do
Right.
something for someone, and if you get a reaction, great. Sometimes you do. I always do. I love it. If it's the smile alone or the appreciation, it's immediate. But it doesn't even matter. It's automatic that you feel good. But I love your idea of documenting all of these things because I always had a feeling, this is a really good time to bring this up. I always had a feeling that if you had to run and tell people about it, then you negated the gift because It was about you getting attention for what you did instead of giving it away and whatever happens with it. What do you think about that? I'd like to hear your take because I had thought that before, but maybe when you tell, I never tell anybody about it, but maybe when you tell someone about it, it's contagious. Maybe it
Well,
reminds them.
so we're working on an app right now, community app through Mighty Networks, and that's the whole point is it what it does is, and that's why I give in public on Instagram so that people can see. And I always ask people if they say no, like for instance, 3 days ago I was Alpharetta, Georgia, and I filmed myself like I normally do before and during and after. And so I said, I'm going to pull into a gas station. I'm going to look for somebody who appears to be homeless because today's focus, whatever that day was, because I have a pillar every day, it was homelessness. And so I'm gonna pull in, look for somebody homelessness. And I literally, when I pulled in, I saw somebody who appeared to be homeless talking to a person in a work vehicle. And the person was like, they were doing this. I couldn't read their lips or just no. And the guy looked down. And as soon as I pulled in, he ran, he didn't run, he walked over swiftly to me. And he said, oh, he said, excuse me, sir. I said, he said, oh, let me, he hit me so hard with what he was trying to say. And he says, I didn't even give you a chance to walk, get out the car. I said, sir, I'm not, I actually came in here and to give. He looked at me, says, oh, you're a minister? I says, no, I'm not. I said, I came in this area to give. And I'm sure how fast this works. And then I turned, you can go on my Instagram, you can see it. And then I said, guys, I said, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, what's your name? He told me his name. And then at the and then at that moment, I already told everybody previously that I had prepared a care package with deodorant, toothpaste, water. There's other goodies in there, expensive thing. I get, and I said I prepared it. Had already that night before, I had already prepared my care package because that's what the whole intention was for that day. So I left work in Buckhead, Georgia. I said I'm going to go and do this. And so he's big smile. You see him online. I gave it to him. I said, "Are you hungry?" He says, "No, no, sir, not at all." And then I said, "You have a fantastic day." And that was it. I'm just sharing with you. That's how fast this works. And then so people, to answer your question, they see that, and the intention is now they should go out and they want. I want to motivate people to give. There was one day last week where I did. I'm gonna show people how when you're thinking about giving some creative. It was raining out. We had a 10-day stint in rain here in Georgia, and so I said, "What can I do?" It was getting dark. I said, "I know what I'll do." I went to Dollar General and I filmed this, and I said, "I went and I bought several cards to give to a senior citizens home." And I put money in it. And obviously I wrote I deliberately, I didn't rubber stamp it. I took the time to say, hey, thank you so much for what you've done in your life. And then I called first. I said, listen, it's probably going to be unusual for you, but I'm part of a global organization called Overflow Nation. And I challenge all of our members to give every day. And today is raining. Can I drop off cards? She said, sure. I said, what's your name? And I made a card for her. And then she didn't realize she was getting something. And that very next day, an overflow happened for me, and I wrote that down. So I think that those are the things that people need to understand. Because if you're just walking around here, I think that's fine, but you have so much that you can do for others, and you become that magnet. You're like, wow, just, now it's like you become like paparazzi. Like people taking pictures of you, you become like paparazzi. And then people want to box you in and say that you're a church, but it's not a church. It's just you, this is how the world should look. In California, I've been there several times with Sears, and I will say that there is a section that people know Skid Row. And I think that when I've heard, people, politicians talk negatively about it. But if you take the half of population of the United States, and if we were to do this every single day, will we get there? I don't know. But I'm on a mission to touch 1 million lives by the end of this year. We're in 13 countries right now.
An incredible mission. And I always had a motto myself is the, and actually I didn't create this phrase, but if you save one child, you save the world entire. If
Absolutely.
everyone saved one person, we'd all be saved. Think about
Absolutely.
it. It's just such
Absolutely.
a
That's it.
wonderful thing to think about. And it's
That
not
is.
that hard to do. For me, I had a lot of blankets. Someone had passed away and she had all these really thick yoga blankets, like really nice ones, the kinds you pick up in Mexico that are big and thick and whatever. Shoot, it was so easy. I was the executor of the state. I took all of them. I wrapped them up, wrapped a bow around them, put the card in, had money in the card. It was $5. But the bottom line is you're coming off the freeway and there are people that are literally parked. You know, that they're living there in the trees there. It was so nice to be
Yeah.
able to go by. It's so simple
Yeah.
to do it, and it makes you feel like you're part of the world. It makes you feel like you're part of humanity, and I love this. So now let me ask you, Overflow, you brought up Overflow Nation. What about Overflow AI Academy? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I recently took a class some months ago through Wharton that really introduced me to what this new phase we're going through. This I call an agent phase, where myself, I grew up taking a typewriting class in high school and junior, and now that's the thing of the past. And so now you can think it and you can actually create it. And so I said, I don't want to be left behind. I want to be in the forefront with overflow. And so the whole idea is because I've been in HR for so many years, I've seen it where you knocked on my door at an international harvester looking for FMLA or whatever. And then I fast forward and we became these strategic business partners. Then now we become a seat at the table where I had to go out and learn numbers and P&Ls and got an MBA. But now we're in this phase where Excel is not as important. I have a people analytics certification I got a couple of years ago that I became pretty fancy with Excel, but now that's really the thing in the past, and that's just a couple of years. Now it's all about what platform. So they had us go through all these different platforms, from Lindy.ai to Perplexity and all these different. So they had us create like eight, open up eight different accounts, leading accounts for AI. And I took away from that. I said, I'm gonna bake that into the platform where we have so many people that are in the program that because one of the core genesis things that you get in the program is that we teach you how to start your own business. And you'll have an AB, an alpha beta test before you end it. And so by the end of the 9 weeks, you'll have a living, breathing business. But then what? And so I put AI on top of that. So we teach you to build your business, whether it's a hard business, whether it's you're taking a frozen, I have people that one guy created a frozen banana, dipping them in chocolate, getting a truck. And so now what? How do you AI that? And so we teach you that process. So we created an AI, a data agency, an HR agency, where we deal specifically with the premium niche groups that are trying, these venture capitalists. I want them reaching out to Overflow Nation, and then we'll have this kind of this luxurious group that goes out based upon who's under the platform. And that's really what it is. So Skillshare, Coursera, all these different organizations, we take people down those paths to teach them AI on top of their business, and that's what that is.
Love that you offer not just training, but certification and mentorship and real world opportunities. What do you think makes it different from all the other digital training programs out there right now? Because they're coming out of the woodwork. What makes yours different?
Yeah, I think it's the Forge Nine. I think that my father was in Vietnam, my grandfather was in World War II, and I always wanted to do that, but I had education. And so my family pushed me in education. They didn't want me to go in agriculture. So I did that. And although I'm appreciative of that, I always wanted to go into the military. I said, but if I'm going to start an organization, I'm going to start my own little boot camp. And I'm going to start, and we call it the Forge Nine. And so within the Forge Nine, you think of something being forged out of the 9 week training. That's what makes us different, because you're not only coming out of it with a business, you're coming out of it with a mentor that really teaches you more about the fasting element and all the things we talked about earlier. So then that's really not, most organizations don't really get into the humanistic side of it. They just want that thing to teach you how to scale your business from ClickFunnels and whatnot.
Yeah, this is a much more robust program that offers all the things that you need, or a big part of what you need to move ahead. Now you're out there, you've been out there talking about this. I'd love to really pivot here and talk about public speaking because you've got to be out there putting this message out there. How for you has public speaking been helpful in growing what you're doing and getting the word out about your academy?
Yeah, so for me, I have to create my stage, and that's part of what we teach our students is you have to create your stage. I did a couple podcasts earlier today, and I think that it's really about you going out there and finding the different platforms that can set you up to do that. And then also, if there's not, you'll have to speak for free at certain places. You'll have to create that avenue where there's not an avenue. I heard Michael Jordan say, he said, "How are you going to come this early in his career?" He said, "How are you possibly going to create some type of influence when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Bill Laimbeer are dominating?" He says a leader creates their own landscape, their own real estate. And I think that's what I teach our students. You create your own landscape where there's no, you create it. And then going spiritual again, there was 7 days. And so I just think that you have to create that.
I love that. It's very true. And for those out there that think, oh, speak for free, this is a business I've been in for a while now. And I have to tell you, the climate has changed. It is a lot different now than it was even a year ago. And speaking from stage for free can be far more advantageous to you financially than getting paid to speak. And in fact, very few people are getting paid to speak these days. They don't need it. There's a plethora of speakers out there, and they don't have to do that anymore. The climate has changed. However, if you have the opportunity to speak from stage, sell from stage, or go out and introduce yourself to people who will then explore you, and they will purchase from you. They will buy from you if they feel you're trustworthy. And so there's no better way in the world to build your know and trust factor, which is just essential. That's it. It's just nothing more essential. And that's what the stats are as well. Statistically proven, if you speak about your business, you will exponentially grow it faster than any other process that's out there. Even with AI, listen, AI is great. It's not that I don't use AI, I do. And I'm now using the next level. But let me tell you, the most important thing is you're able to maintain your voice, or you will just sound like everybody else. And
Absolutely.
everybody sees it. Everybody notices it. I see it all the time. I'm bored to tears. It just makes me think that the creator is lazy. So if you are creating something, AI can help you do a better job of it. Maybe you're not a good writer. Maybe you can't spell. Maybe you have no idea about phraseology. That's okay to have AI help you. Do not let it be your business. I cannot see
Right.
this in a stronger way, is that it's your job to maintain your voice, who you
Absolutely.
are, what you're about. So it's a wonderful tool. It's a great writing partner, but you're the lead.
That's right. That's right. I love that.
So I am so excited. So what is your favorite platform to speak on? What has been the most successful for you? Is it podcasting? Is it speaking on a stage with hundreds of people? Is it what kind of stage do you like the best?
Yeah, so because I am currently an executive, I do have kind of avenues where I get to go in and I talk a lot about leadership to executives. So for me, I'm very appreciative of that platform because I do know that there's when you have the C-level in front of you and you have the vice presidents underneath them in the same room, there's a lot of different alpha males and alpha females. And I think that within that, how do you deal with those different personalities? And I always challenge people. I always ask one question. This is how I get the temperature of the room. I ask one question. And I get it. I'm a big fan of Sheryl Sandberg. And I always, she talks in her book, she talks about how when she was in Harvard, that half of her letter grade was in her book, Lean In, was based upon peer evaluation. And so to go to Harvard, we all know it's about $130,000, $130,000 a year. So that means a half of that was based upon peer evaluation. So she coined the phrase success and likability goes hand in hand. So I always ask people, I don't care if it's 300 people in the room or 1,000 people in the room, I say, how many people in here believe you should be respected or liked? And I love this for people that have just been promoted to a manager of others and they're no longer individual contributors because they'll 100% of the time say respected. And then I bring up the example from a collegiate perspective from Sheryl Sandberg and what we're paying. I said, how many people have children? How many people here love college? How many people believe in the collegiate system? And then everybody raises their hand. I said, so then now we can change your narrative because what your children are going through, what you're paying for your children, they're learning to understand the likability factor. So now, and I use this example because I'm very animated. So this is a backpack. And so one of my sons is in military, he's infantry. And so this is what we call like a rucksack. A rucksack has had about 50 pounds in it. So as a leader, that weight of that job becomes a lot less heavy when you just say, I just want to be respected. Because now you're driven with transactional responsibilities. But the moment you say, I'm trying to be liked, now that rucksack is heavy because now you can go, if you're an individual contributor, you can come to work and you could just basically be a jerk. You don't have to say anything to anybody. You can go to your cube and go home in 8 hours. But the moment you say, I want more money to be a manager, and we give you that extra $100,000, now you have to say, good morning, Kelly. How are you? How was your weekend? What kind of puppy did you say you have? Because if you don't do that, people are going to knock on my door. So what's going on? Kelly didn't like me. Why is that? She don't know anything I am. She doesn't even know I like fishing. I love fishing. I like fishing. And I think that's when the shift happens, is when we make that rucksack heavier. And then that's what I talk people out of being leaders because you're not going to suffocate that department just because you're trying to think transactionally about all the different things that it takes to make the donut. So.
Absolutely. It boils down to the end. People do business with people they like. It that
Exactly.
really is what it boils down to. And a
Exactly.
lot of times it has nothing to do with the product. When you're out selling, to your new product, your new business. When you're out there, you can give them all the numbers, but they know all the numbers. The bottom line is it's not the product, it's they're buying you. And they don't buy you unless they like you. If they have to trust you, yes. But if they don't like you, forget it. There's another guy around the corner, another project to invest in. That's why I think you'll always do well, Billy, because you've got a very high likability factor. It's very important.
Okay.
So let's chat about what's coming up for you. What are you most excited about that you're working on?
Yeah, the team, we got together and I really challenged everybody to focus on 2026. And being in Atlanta, as everybody knows, FIFA 2026, the World Cup is going to be here. So we reached out to several venture capitalists over the past couple months, and we developed a gamification app. And it's a SaaS product, a software as a service product, where individuals, because we're going to have literally 48 countries here in Atlanta. So how do we leverage that from an overflow? So it's called the Overflow Table. That's the name of the app. And so we're going to put this out in the stratosphere where people can come in, they fly in, we'll have banners and whatnot. And then you'll be able to get a gamification, if you will, to identify, like if you're from Brazil, if you're from Italy, you'll be able to find on that app where those restaurants are. Now, if you go to other restaurants that are not in your country, then you'll still get points. But if you can find points similar to the World Cup, you get more points when you go to your particular country. And then if you get a maximum set of points per restaurant, you can get free meals. And so that's the goal. And it also recognizes those restaurants that are underserved, because you think about it, they're sitting at home right now. They said, we're going to kill it next year. How? Because it's centralized to downtown Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're not going to go to the west side or the east. They're not going. So if you're part of this, if you've been hearing this, if you're part of this app, then you'll be able to download the app and you'll pay the monthly fee. But then you also get the upside of that post FIFA as well.
What a great project to work on. So exciting. So timely. I can't wait to see it when it comes out. I want to say, Billy, thank you so much for coming and sharing your journey with us and what you're working on and what you have created already. Your story and your strategy and the heart behind Overflow Nation, it's not just inspiring, it's a blueprint for how to lead with purpose and still play big. And you're all about that. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for being you, and thank you for opening up the doors. And I see how structured your room is there. And so you're a very organized person. So I see that. It's the first thing I always recognize is, and you're very organized. And thank you for being you and having me on there.
It's a joy. You really brought us so much. And I really feel that I'm going to walk away from this hearing those stories about giving, because all of this, it doesn't matter if we're not connecting to each other, if we're not looking out for each other, and
Definitely.
If we're not trying to make a difference with the things that we do, what we choose to do. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a good difference. I think that's going to go really far coming up, because we've gotten really far away from it. And so I like the efforts that you're involved in that really are about connecting people, helping them create businesses and be competent in those businesses and helping them scale. It's powerful. So I want to share with everyone to learn more about Billy and the movement he's building. Check out his website at overflownation.com. You can grab a copy of his book. It's called The Answer, Break Every Limit, Receive Every Blessing. This time the abundance stays. It's on their website, or go over to Amazon. And if you're ready to level up your skills and your impact, check out Overflow AI Academy. It's where digital tools meet real world change, and food brings people together. So check out Overflow Nation and find out about this app that's coming. It's right around the corner. I think you want to hear about it. And Billy just brings a whole new dimension to what public speaking can do. It's not just for visibility. It's for deep transformation and connection and getting the word out there. And it's proof that when you speak from conviction, you don't just grow a following, you spark a movement. And Billy's all about movements. As you can see, he can't help himself. He is a walking movement. He's in corporate America, and yet still he can't help himself. He just is a man on a mission. So everybody, if you got something out of this episode today, please let us know and consider sharing it. It's important that we're connecting in with quality programming and with people that are trying to make a difference. Let me know, subscribe, share. All of that really helps. And that support really helps us spotlight voices that are changing the game. Obviously, Billy is right there in that fold. So here on the Speaker Spotlight, we're all about showing you how your voice can be your biggest business asset and your most powerful legacy move. Thank you again, Billy, for joining us and to everybody that's tuned in. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.